Hi and welcome. My name is Mel Herbert and this is Talking Tesla. We're going to talk about the cars, the batteries, the supercharger, the rumors, the stock price, of course the man, anything and everything Tesla. Why? Well, because we're
talking
Tesla.
Any notes
chat
in
just,
front of
just
me,
chatting
just so you
just
know
discussing.
I'm excited.
All right, Tom, we went to the Tesla battery event, so
that was good times. There was hors d'oeuvres and stuff.
Yeah, I want you to speak specifically about. Let's take a step back here. A couple of weeks ago we went to the Tesla battery event.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to basically the announcement of Tesla Energy. All right.
We took our Tesla, and guess what? We weren't the only one driving a Tesla. All right, so let's talk about the most important part of that event, and it wasn't the fact that there's a new battery technology, one that recycles every day, one that cycles over a longer period of time for more storage. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about the fact that Elon Musk wants to change the world by having lots of solar panels, but then having battery backup. Wasn't about that.
You know what it was about?
The hors d'oeuvres.
And the open bar.
Was it open?
Open bar, dude.
Oh, I had to tip, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, because we're decent human beings.
Yeah, you are a foodie, Tom, so let's talk about the hors d'oeuvres. To me, there was a lot of fish and I don't want to eat that.
There was some weird stuff on the canopy trays with like little triangular things, and we kind of thought that was all there was, and then we took a walk around to grab a gin and tonic and a Chardonnay. I wonder which one of us had the Chardonnay.
Thank you.
And there was a whole other thing there, and it was full of French fries.
Yes.
And slidery things with like a pulled pork situation and also some vegetarian meatballs. I don't know who those were for. I like to eat vegetables, but not in meatball form. I'll tell you that right now.
Isn't it sociologically very interesting that probably the average income of people at a Tesla event right now, it'll be different later on when we have cheaper Teslas, but the average income there was probably substantial.
I'll tell you this. I brought that down.
But those people were like all over that free food, like Oprah on a glazed
head. Not only were they all over the free food, not only were there really long lines for the food, for the alcohol, but people would cut in line.
Yeah.
Like guys with Rolexes are like, excuse me, those are my French fries, sir. I would like those free shoestrings. That would be mine.
It was fascinating, psychologically fascinating to me. The sliders and the fries were simply outstanding. It made the whole event
in my
mind.
They were spectacular, and they were pouring like quality well drinks. I mean, this wasn't like a tank array. We're talking like good quality alcohols. A nice Chardonnay. I mean,
it
was delicious.
It was crisp, fruity, maybe a little grassy. I quite liked it.
Nice.
And after the fifth one, I didn't have any pain.
I mean, we got in the car. We were blind drunk.
The producers of Talking Tesla in no way endorse the driving of cars while intoxicated. We believe, although we cannot confirm, that this was a joke.
Thank God it was valeted or we never would have found it.
It's
and we
true.
Just, we went home. We didn't hit anything. We got lucky.
We must have autopilot or something.
Yeah, I think it's a self-driverless Google Tesla.
My biggest beef about the food were the lines.
Yeah,
too many lines.
That's right. But I mean, you know, they probably didn't. I mean, they knew how many people RSVP'd, but it's hard to run an event like that and not know. Maybe a bunch of VIPs showed up at the last minute. You know how it is in LA. Like, oh, excuse me, I must be at the Tesla event. Let me stand in the VIP line.
It was a bit like that. Now, the thing that I enjoyed the most, actually, when we first drove in, do you remember this? Let me take you back in time.
Yeah. That's very familiar and probably copywritten.
Probably. So we're driving in there, and it's at the Hawthorne Airport. So you come around, you get off the freeway, you come around the corner, you get to the Hawthorne Airport, and there's this big Tesla sign, boom, on this big giant building. And I get all excited and start talking like a 12-year-old boy. Look, it's a big Tesla thing. And as we're driving in, we're pulling in, there's Tesla behind us. There's a Tesla in front of us. There's a Tesla to the side of us. Teslas are everywhere. So I'm getting very excited. And there's a big barn door, a hangar door, and it's open. And in there is a whole bunch of people standing in front of computers, big monitors. And you said, you know what that is, Mel? SpaceX. You said that. You've forgotten, haven't you?
I didn't. No, I was just holding for you because I wasn't sure if you wanted to reveal or if I was revealing. Yes, SpaceX is right there in the Tesla building. These, I don't know if you know this about SpaceX, first private company to send a vehicle into space.
SpaceX's achievements include the first privately funded liquid propellant rocket, Falcon 1, to reach orbit on the 28th of September 2008, the first privately funded company to successfully launch, orbit and recover a spacecraft, and the first private company to send a spacecraft to the International Space Station.
To dock with the International Space Station.
Right. It's bringing, like, cappuccino machines up there. Real important stuff Elon Musk is working on. The Italian guy's like, hello, I needed the coffee.
Did they send Teslas up there?
It was so cool. You don't need a Tesla in space, bro.
It was so cool to see that. It may have been the highlight of the entire evening for me.
And also pretty much wiped out any carbon savings that all those Teslas producing.
I'm sure he's buying carbon credits. All right, so then we did the event, and my beef with the event, it was great. We had the sliders, we had the Chardonnay, it was all good. But he made us wait for an very long time.
For so long.
To the point where I was like, we're out of here. Because it's like, I don't know how many people there, 1,000 people there. And it's getting later and later. And Tom, I have to go to bed by 10 o'clock or I'm a mess.
And these rich people are shoving, and there was almost a fight behind us about a guy like wanting the square foot of space in front of another guy's square foot of space. It was very testosterone-y and also kind of nerdy. It was a weird group of folks. The press was all there like, oh my God, he's going to change the world. And he makes us wait. And he makes us wait. And then like some celebrities come out and they don't get on stage. They're just like, you know, he's got his own entourage. I mean, I half expected to see Turtle out there with him.
Turtle?
From Entourage. The people will get the reference. You don't, clearly.
I do not know.
You're a very silly man.
I don't know.
Only watch zombie movies.
Yes, all of the zombie movies. So then here's what I liked about it. So he comes out and finally he's there and we're like, thank freaking God.
And he's wearing the same suit he always wears.
Yes. And he's not known as the best public speaker of all time.
He's a good man. I love the man.
Yes.
Terrible presenter.
Yes. Good in interviews, not good as a presenter by himself.
No.
So he gets up there and you know that they've been studying and they've been sort of doing this like a TED talk and they're ready. And he gets up there and he says, basically, it's a battery. And you can see people behind him. His handler's going, how many times do we do the intro? It was funny to me.
Basically, it's a battery. And I was like, I don't know. Do you remember, like, right as I walked in, I looked around and I saw the lights and stuff like that. And what did I say to you?
You did pick it. It's a big battery van. Everybody knows it's a battery van. It's no secret. And Tom walks in there and he goes, I bet you he says, and tonight's entire event has been run off a Tesla battery. And what did they say, Tom?
This entire night has been powered by batteries. Not only that, the batteries were charged by the solar panels on the roof of this building. So this entire night, everything you're experiencing is stored sunlight.
The entire event was run off Tesla batteries, not the little piddly one you put on the side of your house that I think might be useless. I'm just saying.
But
the big industrial bad boys, that really is probably the whole reason for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
It was cool. So let's get into it then. So you're not going to get one of those? So as everybody knows who's listening to this podcast, surely. So they announced sort of home batteries. A 7.5 kilowatt and a 10 kilowatt. The 7.5 kilowatt is supposed to cycle every day. The idea is that you could buy 7.5 kilowatts of really cheap energy in the middle of the night and then use that when it's expensive. And so just that alone, you could save money. And then bigger ones, 10 kilowatt, which you would cycle as backup. Let's say the electricity in your area goes out, then it'll automatically flip on and your house will be fine. You don't think that there's a use for this in your life?
I think the only real use is for people who already have a lot of excess solar, people who are trying to live off the grid in the middle of nowhere, your Ted Nugent, your Bob Dylan's, your Neil Young's, your brother, right?
My brother, yeah.
Who lives off in the middle of the grid with no, and he's got like 700 old Celica batteries
tied
to each other.
That's
and
what
they're
he has.
Just like, They're just holding the juice, and it's all inefficient, right? For those guys, I think they're awesome because it's nice and compact. But for, like, the normal person, first off, you mentioned buying cheap electricity. My tier one electricity is, I think, I don't know, let's call it 13 cents a kilowatt hour. Mm-hmm. My tier two energy is 17 cents a kilowatt hour. So we're talking about 4 cents, and we're not – and so that's 40 cents every time the thing's fully charged. It's $3,500 plus installation. It will take you all of your family's lifetimes that actually have ever lived before you and will ever live after you to make up for that. In your case, you've got, I don't know, 8,000 solar panels on your roof.
Yes.
So maybe it works for you, but if you did the math and really did the math, I don't see it's there.
I was told there would be no math.
That is true. You were told that.
So they use numbers, and it's interesting you bring that up because they bring numbers up like in some places you can buy at 3 o'clock in the morning electricity for 8 cents a kilowatt hour, but at the peak times it's 30 cents a kilowatt hour. Huge differences. So I guess if you don't have a huge difference between your peak and your off-peak, it may not be worth the cash. Is that right? You are LADWP?
Correct, yeah. And then I don't believe there's a huge difference. I could be wrong, but when I look at my tiered bill, it looks like it's just tiers. It doesn't appear like there's – they do list peak and off-peak, but I don't see a big price difference. I could be wrong about that, but again, it's got to be cents.
You got to be wrong. Anyway, we'll look at it. I mean, I don't know.
Check it out.
I don't think it's that big a difference either. I don't remember it being that big a difference. But there's also like tier three, isn't there? Like at 7:30 at night in the summer when everybody's air conditioner is on, if you turn on your power, it's like $3,000 per hour.
But the tiers are how much your usage is, right? So again,
it's also timed.
But it's
well, mine is timed.
Yours, I don't. And we're in the same DWP, so I don't really understand that, to be honest with you. So I could be ignorant, and that wouldn't be the first time. Let's be honest.
And I'll get some real. Be editing in here some facts.
That'd be great. Because making me look stupid.
We don't have a lot of facts.
That will be helpful.
Well, we said there'd be no math, but actually, there of course will be a little bit of math. I want to try and explain this in a simplified way, so that you can then apply this to your particular situation. Let's say, for example, that you're on a meter energy setting with your electric utility. And let's say that at 3 a.m. in the morning, you can buy electricity at 10 cents per kilowatt hour. But at, say, 7 o'clock at night, when everybody's using their air conditioners, you're buying at 30 cents per kilowatt hour. The difference between those two is 20 cents per kilowatt hour. So if you buy in the middle of the night and use it at the peak time, you're potentially saving 20 cents per kilowatt hour. If you have a 7 kilowatt battery, fully charged, you've saved $1.40 every time you cycle it. And if you did that every single day, then you'd save somewhere around $500 per year if that was your exact scenario. But you need to know if you have a time of day metering system, and you need to know the difference between the expensive electricity you're buying and the cheap electricity you're buying. But that gives you an idea of how to do the math. Just take the expensive minus the cheap, minus the amount you use every day, multiply it out for the year if you want, and that'll tell you your savings. And that'll tell you that if it's a $3,000 system, and that may be more than that, and you're saving about $500 a year, there's about a 6-year payoff. So if you're doing it purely to save cash, it's going to take you about 6 years to pay it off.
But again, I think that like we're still talking about cents. We're talking about $3,500. I mean, you had an interesting thing. You want to be completely not dependent in, well, what you refer to it on the way home was a zombie apocalypse hits my house.
Thank you.
I want to be able to have some power. Now, the average American, and this research I did do, uses about 30 kilowatt hours a day, right? So you would need 3 of the 10s for one day's worth of usage. You got like 17 refrigerators and 45 big screen TVs at your house, so you might need a few more. But then the other part about that is the way that the DWP anyways lets you set up your system is if the grid goes down, it doesn't matter. You're not I don't think the way that your system is set up, you can charge directly from your solar panels.
That's what I don't know either. And again, we're going to edit in some facts here because if it goes from the solar to the battery and the battery is somehow then connected to my house first, so if the grid goes down, I can always use it. That's what I want it for. I want to be able to be off the grid if the grid goes down. One problem with the zombie apocalypse idea, even if this works out and I can do that, I can go from my solar panels and I can charge my batteries and I can be fully offline if I want to, what are the zombies going to do when all the houses around me are dark and my lights are on?
They're going to come to you. You're going to have to keep your lights on in your basement, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, do not be flaunting like HBO. The zombies will, I mean, they'll find you, bro. Yeah. You know they will. This you got a new fence, though, so maybe that'll keep them out.
Yeah, I don't think it's zombie-proof. It's your basic wooden fence.
Probably not.
I don't think it's gonna. So that is a good point, and we'll find out some more details about this. So you're not getting one. You're not. You didn't put yourself on the list.
Well, okay. So for in my case, I have a solar system from another one of Elon Musk's lovely, environmentally friendly companies, the Solar City.
The Solar City.
I'm very, very happy with, and it has provided me, according to their thing, about $3,800 in savings since I bought it in 2011. So that's pretty good.
That's nice.
Right. It was an expensive system. I did the prepaid solar lease, so it didn't really cost me. I've recouped about half of my cost so far of my prepaid 20-year solar lease. So that's pretty good.
Yes.
Where was I saying? Oh, but my system is not big enough to provide surplus.
That's what she said. Go on.
My system, like, it's just not big enough to provide surplus. Even so, like, during the summer, I'm probably about a break even or a little bit below break even. In the winter, because of cloud cover and stuff like that, I'm not even close. So, you know, my system keeps me out of the upper tiers most of the time, which I'm very, very grateful for, and all of those DWP penalties. But, you know, I don't have excess like you do. Like, you have excess that you put it back into the DWP and they give you credits for, like, the winter months or whatever that you hold. It's like rollover minutes to a certain extent, right?
Yeah,
is how it works.
That's exactly what it is. Because so, I can make a phone call from my solar panels.
Right. I don't get any rollover minutes from the DWP. So for me, I would have to really look at what my production and usage is to see if it would work, but I don't think it works for me. And, you know, at $3,500, that's just the tip of the iceberg. They say there's a couple grand more in installation and permitting and stuff like that. That's pricey.
Yeah, we don't know the exact number yet because when he announced it's $3,500, there was this collective gasp, oh my gosh, they look so pretty, they look so nice, I would do that, $3,500. But then you have to buy an inverter and then you have to get it installed, so it's not clear how much this is. I can tell you there's a group of people for whom this is a revelation. So I have friends, for example, in Africa who run nonprofits. And they have constant problems with the grid and power, and it's shutting off all the time. And when I called my friend and said, here, just what got released, they're in tears. Like, this is exactly what we need. We need a solar system. We need a robust battery backup that isn't giant and lead acid batteries. We can cycle it every day if we need to. We can have backup. She's like, I must get one of these. So for some people in remote areas, this is going to be fantastic. They're going to have to do a bit more of a sales job to work out if it's going to be good for the you and the me in the big cities.
Well, and it's also $3,500. Is it going to be $3,500 there? I did a little bit of research into it, and it looks like about 70% of the cost of the thing is just purely on the battery. So, you know, they pay more than $200 currently. I think it's $240 per kilowatt hour of battery capacity is the cost. They hope the Gigafactory drives that down to $170. They're the only company that's got a downward trend in their battery costs right now. Everybody else seems to be either staying stable or possibly even etching up a little bit. But the Gigafactory could be the game changer for cost per kilowatt hour of battery space. So maybe that drives it down. Maybe they do some sort of buy one for Africa kind of campaign. But to me, like, don't you think the big industrial ones would be better for like a village to kind of do it that way and have like mini power plants that are very, you know, environmentally friendly, very mobile. Like, imagine a UNICEF refugee camp, right? That's set up. Like, it would be amazing. Drop one of those in, throw some panels up, boom, you got it.
So Tom's point is an important one, and a lot of people are really interested in this, and you can find a lot of blogs that are discussing it. For example, Clean Technia has a nice little series on this. So it really depends on your assumptions, and it really depends on what is happening in the future with battery technology, with battery cost per kilowatt hour. But as that cost per kilowatt hour goes down with things like the Gigafactory and new technologies and graphene batteries or whatever might be around the corner, as that cost to store energy goes down, these systems become more and more useful to you, whether you have a solar system or whether you don't have a solar system. And so we expect that cost per kilowatt hour is going to continue to go down just because of this giant factory and the fact that it has lots of efficiencies of scale, but also with new technologies. So again, right now you have to really look at your particular situation to decide if this is financially viable, if that's the only reason you're doing it. But over time, this should become, with new technologies and with new efficiencies, more and more viable as that cost per kilowatt hour goes down and down and down to a magic, many people say the really magic number is about $100 per kilowatt hour of storage. At that point, you blow fossil fuels and everything else out of the water.
It addresses all the needs. Thinking about sort of buying a battery, what does this provide you? Well, it gives you peace of mind. So if there's a cut in the utilities, you're always going to have power, particularly if you're in a place that's very cold. Now you don't have to worry about being out of power if there's an ice storm. You can actually go, if you want, completely off-grid. You can take your solar panels, charge the battery packs, and that's all you use. So it gives you safety, security, and it gives you a complete and affordable solution. And the cost of this is $3,500.
Oh, look, there's obviously so much more that we need to discuss about this, and we will in the weeks, months, and years ahead. My name was Mel Herbert. His name was Tom Wolfson. This was produced by Foolable Incorporated. Our producer this month was CC Herbert. And if you'd like to make a comment, you can do so at info@talkingtesla.net. That's right, it's a .net. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we've been
talking Tesla.